welcome to the first ever New Era Sens podcast. We're really excited to be doing this. It's true diehard Sens fans talking to the true diehard Sens fans. I'm your host, Mike Stelzer. My co-hosts, Noah Turgeon and Nick DeMolin. And a shout out to our co-founders, Joseph David Saint-Amour and Naftali Clinton. And to the newest member of the team, Colton Kudrenko. So let's just jump right into it, boys. I think first topic that should be on the discussion should be the signing of Evgeny Dadonov. Huge news making the rounds for our Sens yesterday. I think caught everybody a little bit off guard. I know I myself thought it was going to be a great fit, but just never wanted to get my hopes up. Really saw him signing with a team that was better situated to win a Stanley Cup, but obviously he saw a great fit there, and Pierre Dorion did a great sales job as he targeted him for the first day of free agency. So what do you guys think of that signing? Are we stoked about it? Obviously, the $5 million a year was great value. What do you guys think?
I think it's a fantastic signing. If you look at this team going into the next couple of years, the right wing spot was pretty much a wasteland. There wasn't too much to deal with here. And now we have a two-time 28 goal scorer plus a 25 goal season in Evgeny Dadonov on a team called, you know, the Florida Panthers, who aren't a good team, really. They haven't really been a good team in the last few years. So I think it's just great. We'll have Tkachuk feeding him passes in front of the net all the time. It's going to be a fantastic signing for the Sens.
Yeah. Dadonov is, I don't know, as a Sens fan, you know, it's not something I expected them to do. You know, we're not really big fishers when it comes to free agency. So that was kind of a shock, especially since, you know, nobody reported it or there wasn't any rumors or anything. And with Dorion coming out to say that was their number one target and, you know, nobody breaking the story before that. So I was kind of in shock there a little bit, but, you know, as a Sens fan, what a way, you know, to start the early season. Well, I guess, you know, the off season, I guess, getting a guy like Dadonov is just huge for us. And I don't know, like, this guy played with Huberto and Barkov last year. So, I mean, he was always around good players. I hope that it doesn't change much by playing with, I guess, you know, lesser guys with whoever he plays with. But at the same time, I looked a bit at his underlying numbers, and they're still strong. So, obviously, this guy's a difference maker and very dependable. So, I'm super stoked. And honestly, right wing looks pretty good moving forward. Can't complain anymore.
One thing that I wanted to mention, a lot of people on Sens Twitter like to use the term for him that he wasn't getting easy goals. These 25 goals that he scored last year, they weren't easy goals. And that kind of prompted me to go take a look. From what I saw, they were all right. These goals are, you know, shots from that home plate area or just a little bit outside or right in front of the net. He loved it. He loved cleaning up rebounds and whatever the goalies couldn't hang on to.
I think that's bang on. I think, like you said, a lot of his goals come from those prime areas. He's just got a great nose for the net, knows where he needs to be, reads off his line mates really well. He had tremendous chemistry with Mike Hoffman. I've seen quite a few comments say, should we bring Mike Hoffman back? I'm not too big on that. I think Dadonov is the kind of guy where you could throw him with any number of line mates and he will make his line mates better. He's just a very smart player, smart goal scorer like that. So my question to you guys is, do you think he does just as well as he did in Florida, maybe even better because he has an expanded role and more focus on him? Or do you think it might be a little tougher for him to hit that mark because his line mates and the guys around him might not be as good as the Huberdos, the Barkovs, Hoffmans of the world?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's going to be his fourth year in the league. So I think he'll have a bit of that consistency already scoring more than 25 goals in 3 years. So I think he'll come in here and he'll be established like that guy. Like, I don't know. I think especially on a younger team like Ottawa, I think like being able to have those first line minutes, the older guy, that also brings confidence, I think. And for a guy like him, I mean, that's such a good opportunity. Maybe that's why he chose Ottawa, especially considering there's like 10 other teams after him. So I don't know if that's something that was interesting to him, being able to be on the first line, get those minutes and be able to, you know, help out the younger players. So I think I expect him to come in and, you know, play the game that he's always played. Fourth year in the league, he'll be used to what NHL hockey is. So I don't think there's going to be too many, you know, overall, like we shouldn't have high expectations, but at the same time, I don't think we'll be let down. Like he's just one of those guys day in, day out. He's just going to be on the ice and make plays and we can't be disappointed. Like this guy is dependable for sure. And I think that's great for DJ as well to have a guy that can just throw on the ice and, you know, be certain that he'll get a play done. So especially with a guy like Tkachuk, that's going to go really well. I'm really excited.
It's actually going to be his seventh year in the NHL. He played 3 years back in 2009 to 2012.
Oh, okay. I didn't even know that.
He hardly played. He was right. Bouncing around between the NHL and the AHL. Yeah, he played a total of 55 games over those 3 years.
Okay, yeah. All right.
So nothing special by any means necessary. but this guy's been putting up goals since 2015, 2016. Going 2 years back, 2 years into the KHL, he had 23 goals in the KHL as a 25-year-old, and he's only been getting better since. He got 30 the next year and then 28 twice in the NHL. So this guy's just going to, he's just going to walk in and probably do the same thing that he's been doing his entire life.
No, that's a great point. Actually, I went on his hockey DB profile. I was looking through it. I saw those earlier years and I was pretty shocked to see that. I feel like part of me had known that at some point, just forgotten. Like, oh yeah, he played a few years. It wasn't that great. I think it's the kind of case where he went to the KHL after that, grew his game there. Some guys, especially the hometown guys in Russia, they just have that knack. They love playing at home. And the KHL is a pretty good league. So I think he came to the NHL at 27, 28 as a pretty established player and some great players in Florida. So you're right. I think he's going to come right in. Which brings me to my next question about projections. I think he comes right in and puts up a 30-goal season, his first season in Ottawa. If he's under 30, it'll be just under 30, maybe between 25 and 30, and maybe 60 total points. If he's putting that up for us on the top line, you know, kind of mentoring Batherson behind him and some other young guys, I'm ecstatic with that. What do you guys see for projections for him?
I don't think he's going to be the top point scorer or even goal scorer on this upcoming team.
Oh, no.
Believe it or not, I definitely think, for starters, that Brady Tkachuk is gonna lead this team in goals. I think he's gonna have Dadonov on one side. He may have Tim Stutzel in the middle, or he'll have Norris in the middle. Josh Norris. He could have a couple other childhood friends that he has on this team. Colin White or Logan Brown in the middle. These guys are gonna help him score 30 goals. Brady Tkachuk is gonna be the Ottawa Senators' first 30 goal scorer since Milan Mikolic. I'm calling it right here, right now. Brady Tkachuk will score 30 goals. He'll get 30 assists. I think Dadonov just misses the 30 mark. I bet you he goes closer to 27 goals, 28 goals. But Dadonov will be looking closer to 60, 65 points, especially if he has a budding Brady Tkachuk and a budding Tim Stutzel as his two line mates. Yep.
It wouldn't be a bad shot. I love to think that Dadonov might score at least 28 goals, you know, proving a track record. So I think that'd be my guess, 28 goals, just since he's done it twice before. So I think I'll do that. If he reaches 30, obviously that's great. But, 28 is probably a fair bet. Let's hope he gets two empty netters or something and gets that 30. But
no, I love it. We're all pretty much on the same page there, around the same range. He's given us a good, you know, guideline to go by from the last 3 years. Anything under maybe 25 might be a little bit disappointing, but I think no matter what he does for us, he's going to be a great player. And
sorry to interrupt, but it does help the fact that we only signed him for 3 years. This absolutely protects against the Bobby Ryan potential with this deal. we're not going to get another guy that signed 7x7 and is just going to ruin our cap structure for the next 7 years. We've got him for $5 million, which is fantastic annual value, first of all. And then we've only got him for 3 years. That puts him till he's 34. That doesn't handcuff us. And it lets us build around him as opposed to using him as the sole piece for our rebuild.
Yeah. It's a good point. Yeah. 3 years is so safe.
Absolutely. That's a big part of it, the term and the value. But what about the expansion draft we got coming up next year? I did see some talk about, no, he doesn't have the best season. He doesn't have the impact we're expecting. Do you expose him to a Seattle team and say, you know, we dare you to take him. We dare to take on $15 million. That would be nothing for a team with so much flexibility, like an expansion team. Or is he here for the 3 years locked in? We've committed to him. What do you guys see for that?
Yeah, I think he's a safe bet to keep on our team. I think Dorian, like, this was a big target for him. So I don't think they'll expose him. I think there's other guys they could risk losing. But Dadonov is a key part, I think, especially playing, you know, first line, our number one right winger, older guy. So I think that's really key to have. Obviously, he's proven. So I think he's a bit too valuable to keep to just, you know, make available for Seattle. So my bet is that we keep him, and I think that'd be the best option for us anyway. So
if we don't keep him, then I think there's something wrong. Like, yeah, something's happened to either Dadonov or the team, and just something has gone wrong. You know, you sign him for 3 years, you expect him to be here for 3 years. There, a lot would have to go pretty south for him to not be a Senator in 3 years' time.
Yeah, right on, Noah. I think you look at the guy in that picture yesterday, the Sens were very quick to put it out. Very happy guy signing that contract. Seems stoked to be coming to Ottawa. So you're exposing him. He had a bad season. Didn't like Ottawa. Couldn't get comfortable there, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, you're right. You're signing a 3-year contract. You're putting a lot of hype on the guy. And then they also put out a video saying, like, look at all the goals Evgeny Dadonov scored last year. They're putting quite a bit of hype around this guy. And I don't see how you leave him unprotected.
Yeah.
A player of his caliber.
It's funny. Yeah. It's funny. This guy doesn't really seem to be exactly a household name, if you know what I mean. None of my roommates all watch hockey, and none of them knew who this guy even was. I had to explain that he's a nearly 30 goal scorer for the past 3 years. He's one of the better wingers in the NHL. So it's kind of interesting in that sense. But for sure, if Ottawa's going to need to also sign someone else that we can expose in this expansion draft.
Yeah, I was going to say, if it's not Dadonov, who do you guys think, you know, we'll put up for Seattle, or who do you think Seattle might, you know, want to take from us? So that's something I would be curious to know.
Is Logan Brown a possibility? Is that the guy that maybe Ottawa looks at and says, okay, we'll just keep him around. We'll keep him on the team. We'll make sure he gets his minutes so we can, you know, kind of present him for Seattle.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they'd keep him, though, just because of his trade value. I mean, that's an asset you could give up for so much more than just letting him walk by just like that. I don't know. No, you have a good point, though. But
I mean, is there trade value there with Logan Brown? That's the real question.
I love this topic because I think Logan Brown is still a fantastic player. I wouldn't trade him. I don't think if you're trading a guy who's 6'6", 230 pounds, like, and this guy not only is he 6'6", 230 pounds, but he's been scoring at a point per game pace almost everywhere he's gone. In Windsor, in Belleville now, last year, he put up 28 points in 25 games. That's over point per game. Why are you trading a 22-year-old 6'6" winger, or not even winger, center? He's a centerman.
We've seen that with Zibanejad too. So, I mean,
this guy, from the moment he got drafted, they said that he had the potential of Joe Thornton. And I think he still does have that potential.
It's an excellent point. Yeah, no,
his vision, sorry to interrupt. We gotta work that one out. But his vision is just too good to leave. His vision on the power play, the way you can see the ice, and you know, it helps to be able to see the ice when you're 6'6". You can just see over top of everybody. But
no, you're bang on there. I mean, many guys could you find around the NHL 6'6" centerman like that? He's a giant guy, and he could wreak havoc on teams if we just give him a little more time. What concerns me about Logan Brown, though, is I've been high on him since his draft year. I mean, he went 11th overall, right, guys? But
Not only did he go 11th overall, Ottawa traded up for him. Ottawa had the 12th pick, and we traded up to the 11th pick with New Jersey. New Jersey ended up taking Michael McLeod, I believe, who is not really a household name, but
yeah.
Oh, you're right. I mean, the only thing for me that's concerning is Brown struggled to make an impact when there was maybe more room on the team. You know, more of an opportunity for him. I got more prospects coming in. I know center is a valuable position, but there's just going to be a lot of young guys over the next year or two pushing for spots. It worries me that Logan Brown might just get lost in the shuffle a little bit, or maybe management is still really high on him. It's hard to say without them speaking too much on him. But up until this point, I had always thought, oh, yeah, he's got trade value. Let's see what we could get for him. And then nothing. Rumors were totally quiet about Logan Brown around the draft and since the offseason started. So that leads you to believe, and it brings us back to our original point. Is he just being held around? Let's see what we got in him, and then things still don't pan out. All right, Seattle, why don't you take a chance? Yeah.
I think the next 2 years are huge for him, though. Like, this is the 2 years where, you know, he'll have to make the jump to the NHL and, like, prove that he's a real dependable guy on an NHL roster. Like, this is the chance, especially with all the prospects we have. Like, he has to stand out and prove his worth. Obviously, he has chemistry with Paul Batherson, a few guys he's played with in Belleville. So, I mean, I'd love to see him popping online with those two guys. And, you know, maybe it works at the NHL level, maybe it doesn't, but he's got to be more consistent. And I think he really has to take a leap in his development in order to stay around. Although, you know, he's 2 years, he'll be what, 24? He's 22 right now. So definitely still trade value there, considering he was a first round pick and obviously proven player with against men. So in the AHL and stuff. So I don't know. I think he has to take a bet on himself and see how that plays out. But if it doesn't, I still think we can get a good return from him. So it's not the end of the road. We'll see what happens. I think obviously the staff has a plan for him and excited to see how it'll play out.
You give him another 2 years? Yeah. I think I've only got one more for him. Considering the depth at center that we have coming up the pipeline.
Yeah.
I think he could easily be surpassed by the likes of guys like Norris and,
for sure,
you know, Stutzel and Colin White. And then right there, he's a fourth line player. And do you want to have this guy who honestly he just oozes talent. Yeah. He always has. Do you want this guy to be your fourth line center? That would be my question. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like you could get more value out of him elsewhere. And I'm sure there would be teams that would be willing to pony up for a player like that if he's able to show his value in the NHL.
Absolutely. Yeah,
I think we're loaded, though, with prospects. So, like, all around, like, I mean, yeah, giving up Logan Brown for another piece would be, you know, a good thing to do. But at the same time, I feel like we're pretty deep in most positions, especially now right wing is kind of covered with Dadonov. I wouldn't risk to get an asset and then to see how that plays out. Why not give Logan Brown a chance while we're already loaded in different positions? And if it doesn't work out, well, okay. Like, I don't know. I guess what I'm trying to say is that I think we give a shot to this guy. Maybe not fourth line. Obviously, that wouldn't be the best for his development. But just flipping him for another asset, I don't know. I feel like we'd regret that. I feel like 2 years would be a safe bet just to see. Maybe we could slot him on the wing. That would be better for him. Who knows? But this guy, I don't know, proven AHL guy, I think he has to take a big leap. And if he does, that might change a little bit of the plan for Dorion. So I don't know. We'll see. But you have a good point, though, Noah.
I'd like to think that if you've been in and around the game, and unless you've had like a pretty like substantial change in the way you play and your mindset towards the game, by the time you hit 23 years old, you're pretty much, that is who you are. You're not gonna, you know, you're not gonna pick up an extra 2 inches in height, or you're not gonna pick up an extra, you know, fill out an extra 20, 25 pounds in your frame or what. Once you're 23, you're pretty much who you are.
Yeah.
So I think if he doesn't show that he's able to take the next step next year, I don't think he will.
Yeah.
Then again, boys, I mean, one of you brought up the case because of Zibanejad earlier. I'm pretty sure we traded Zibanejad at 22 years old.
Yeah.
So I mean, did Pierre Dorion learn something from that? Did it lead him to be a little more patient this time around with Logan Brown? I mean, maybe. We really haven't given him that big of a shot yet. In my head, I was thinking, oh, he's had a few real solid opportunities. No, he really hasn't. I mean, last season, he got 23 games. The year before that, he got two. So he's got 29 games of NHL experience. He got four back in 2017-18. Like, these are very small sample sizes and hard for an 18, 19, 20-year-old to come in and say, like, all right, guys, this is what I could do. This is why you drafted me. Especially on a team that was, for all accounts and intents and purposes, pretty lousy, right? So.
Right. But at the same time, the onus has to go on a little bit to the player as well for not making the team. It's not like the Sens brass is out to get him. The Sens brass isn't coming in the morning and saying, okay, what can we do to screw over Logan Brown today? They're coming in and they're saying, what can we do to make our hockey team the best hockey team it can be right now? And they decided at that moment that Logan Brown was not going to be on that team to make it the best it could be right then. And he hasn't been that guy for the past, you know, since he's been drafted. It really will show if he can step in this year that the patience that they've had for him has paid off.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good point. Very good point, Noah. I think you get that shot in training camp. The guys get that the same shot every year, and it's who's going to wow us. Who's going to say, I deserve a spot. I deserve that ice time. It hasn't been Logan Brown to this point. That could still change, but I think we just gotta, as fans, we gotta tread very carefully with what our expectations are with him. And if he happens to get exposed to Seattle next year and they take him, I'd wish him luck. I would love to see him do well there and get a bigger role that maybe we couldn't give him.
Absolutely. All right, guys, I've had no issues with the person, Logan Brown. He's always been nice to the media and everybody who he's ever really talked to that I've read, but his his agent seems a little bit outspoken.
Last year for sure. But let's try to move on from that with him. I think players and agents get things a little get their wires crossed maybe sometimes. I'm not sure Logan would have given the green light for him to say, yeah, go demand a trade when I haven't really proven anything. So, you know, agents could be a little out of line at times.
Right. It was what ended up happening there? It was Dadonov's agent, or not Dadonov, wow, Logan Brown's agent. I think he said that Brown was being unfairly treated.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a play me or trade me kind of threat.
Right. Yeah.
Where my client's not going to be able to succeed, you know, in the environment you're putting them in right now.
Right.
To which sense, I think, said, well, like you said earlier, Noah, excuse me, like, we've given him training camps, we've given him the off seasons to work on things, and we haven't seen enough progress yet. So
yeah, and that's what I
for you to be making demands.
Yeah, that's what I like about the Sens, though, is that they're bringing all these guys into training camp and they're saying, you know, fight for a spot, and whoever earns it, that's what you get. I think, you know, Logan Brown, nothing against him, but I think he was just a bit underwhelming when he did play in the NHL, and other guys obviously surpassed him. You look at guys like Norris and stuff. So, I mean, obviously it's not his fault. His development just took a bit longer, but you know, guys have just taken over and took the opportunities that were given to him and they took it on to themselves. So obviously he probably doesn't see it that way. Maybe that's why his agent came out and said that. But at the same time, you know, I like how the Sens are just giving the opportunities to the guys that really work for it. And there's obviously guys ahead of Logan Brown in terms of that. So
yeah, absolutely. Agreed, Dave. Well said. Yep. All right, boys. Well, that was plenty of talk about Logan Brown. There's lots of other current Sens news to get to from the last week. Very quickly, I don't want to spend too much time on this one, but what do we think about the Austin Watson and Erika Branson additions?
Watson, I think they're both smart additions. It especially makes you feel better about them when you look at the Dadonov signing. Because if you look at these moves and you say, okay, these are the moves that are making the team a playoff team next year, you cannot sell that to anybody. If you look at Dadonov coming in with a bit of grit, with a bit of leadership and some veteranosity and a little bit of just leadership. They've got some guys that have played NHL minutes that are coming in, and they both seem like good signings.
Yeah. I was sort of on the fence for the good Branson one. Like, obviously those are minutes that you could be giving to younger guys, but obviously with the draft and stuff, Dorion's been pretty clear about getting bigger, and I think you see that with other teams, even in our own division. Look at Toronto coming out to say, yeah, we're looking to get bigger. So Montreal too, getting Anderson and stuff. So I think it's a good shout, especially since our younger players will be coming in. You need those big guys to just step up and play the body and just, you know, set the tone. So, I mean, I was kind of on the fence, but it makes a lot of sense for this season, especially. So, I mean, I'm happy. Ottawa native guy in Eric Goodbranson coming in. So that's nice. Obviously, a little connection there. And Austin Watson, big guy. So, I'm really excited about this one, especially with Dadonov coming in. This is just great additions to the team. I'm really happy.
Yeah, exactly, guys. I think last week when the moves happened, was a little bit of a divide, as there seems to be with Sens Twitter all the time, but it seemed to lean a little more to the side of, all right, this is a high energy kind of player. Personally, I've watched a lot of Austin Watson in Nashville, and you need guys that are just going to come at you hard every shift, and they're going to wear you down, especially if he's going to be around when this team does eventually get to the playoffs. You hope you have those kinds of players. You got Brady on the top line, and then you got a guy like Austin Watson in the bottom six. And there's no shifts off anywhere in the lineup when you look at these guys. Josh Brown on defense, Erika Branson. You're not going to want to take liberties with any of our star players anymore. You won't be able to touch Thomas Chabot or Tim Stützle. So from that point of view, I love it. And we barely gave up anything to get these guys. So, you know, low risk, high reward kind of situations, in my opinion.
Yeah. Anything that keeps Brady out of the box will be nice.
Exactly.
Keep him right out of the box and onto the scoreboard for sure.
And what do you guys think about Watson choosing the number 16 in honor of Gratton? That kind of guard a little bit. I guess you don't know what players guys watch growing up and they emulate their game after. But to me, I think Austin Watson a little more offense to his game than Brian McGratton did. So and Watson doesn't in a ton of fights either. So to me, that would caught me off guard a little bit, but I thought it was super cool.
If he can be like close to what McGratton was for us, I mean, that's a nice addition. So let's see if he changes his game and plays like that over here. But that's a nice little tad towards him. So that's awesome.
Yeah, he's a character player. He's always given his all every shift. He's that guy, you know. He's going to grind you down. He's going to push you into the corners. He's going to poke and prod at you until you can't take anymore. He's going to be another Brady Tkachuk, except he won't quite have the offensive capabilities that Brady has, although he'll still be able to get under people's skin just as well.
All right, guys, right on. The next topic of discussion, I think this was worried a lot of people when it first hit the news. Tim Stützle. He started his season over in the German league, and I don't know if somebody took some liberties with him, came at him, or just, you know, it's a hockey play, part of the game. He thought it was a broken arm at first. Turns out it's just a fractured hand. So I guess that's a little bit better. 6 to 8 week timeline puts him middle of December when training camp should be getting started. And then we've got the whole debate, of course, did Dorian let him go to the World Juniors? Head to that. You know, a lot of people said he wants to play and he's healthy, he's ready to play. You let him go play. I don't think you want to start saying, "Oh, Tim, you know, we don't want you playing in the World Juniors." You know, he's only 18 still. Why not go dominate the World Juniors? And if he's not ready, he's not ready. Rest up, come to camp, kid, ready to go early January or middle of December. Who knows what the NHL is actually going to get started with that? There's no actual concern there, right, fellas?
No. He ran into a teammate during practice. He just fractured his hand. He had a minor surgery to get basically just a cleanup surgery in the same sort of realm. It should have no long-term effects. Fractures are way easier to deal with than pulls, tears, anything sprains, anything that has an open-ended timeline, because we have a set date for when Timmy's coming back and we know when he's coming back. So he's able to work towards that day.
What about you, Dick? Yeah. Any worry there or not really?
I don't know. He's so young, you know, it won't take him. It won't do anything for his development. So I'm not too worried. It kind of sucks. Like, it wouldn't be the Sens if you had good news followed with bad news or something, or the opposite. So kind of just used to it. It'll place itself out. I mean, it sucks, but I'm used to this stuff, you know?
That's the most Sens fan thing I think I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Wake up, all excited. He's playing hockey already. Like, there's hockey going on somewhere in the world, and our top prize prospect is playing in those games. And then, he's not. He's at 6 to 8 weeks. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
A little bit of buzzkill for all the, all the excitement we've had around him and the other moves. But, just a bump on the road to what's going to be an exciting NHL debut. Very soon.
Yeah. You think he'll sign his entry level contract soon? Because Byfield just signed, I think it was today. So, I mean, I'd expect, you know, Stützle to be signed soon enough, I'd say, if they're planning on having him play in the NHL anyways.
I was a little surprised at Byfield signing already. I kind of figured, if he signs, then he can still play in junior, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay, yeah, okay. So, yeah, I guess that makes sense. But yeah, no, Byfield, I don't know if Byfield's going to play in the NHL. I'd like to think that he will. If he does, then that's going to be something. They got a hell of a duo they got going there with Byfield, and then they have Alex Turcotte also up the middle, the future Jonathan Toews clone who was picked 6th overall a year or two ago. That's going to be a really scary duo in the next couple of years. I really like that draft selection. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. The Kings are looking pretty stacked. You added Gabriel Vilardi and Arthur Kaliev to that mix too. And I mean, he's still got Doughty back there to mentor them. Kopitar.
Absolutely. I mean,
the West is a little more open right now, I think, guys, than the East, which has shifted from past years. So, I mean, in a year or two, are we talking about the same thing? Just like the Sens, Kings could be a playoff team, work their way into the conversation. I mean, they're on my watch. You got to say Detroit's in there too, because after you've sucked for so long, that's got to reverse after a while. So we're going to start seeing a lot of these young, exciting teams coming up. And just as a general hockey fan, I think that's awesome.
Look at the Rangers. Like, I expect the Rangers to be a really good team next year. So, I mean, it's just crazy how good these teams are becoming, and especially so quickly too. So it's an exciting time to watch and be a fan of the NHL. Super awesome that the Sens are one of those teams, but I'm really excited to see what happens around the league, especially with the Rangers. Obviously, their team is just loaded, in my opinion, and I'm really excited to watch that.
Speaking of the Rangers and how much they've improved, who do you guys think is the most improved team coming out of the offseason so far? Because we've had Ottawa with our fantastic moves, bringing in all this depth, as well as Dadonov and Stützle, also pushing more prospects into the into the farm system with Sanderson, Grieg, and Sokolov and everybody else. But then you've also got other guys, even other teams in the East with Montreal bringing in Tyler Toffoli and Josh Anderson. And then in Toronto, bringing in TJ Brody. I thought that was a fantastic move. I just think there are so many teams in the NHL that have just absolutely improved their lineup.
Yeah, I think that's a great question to ask Noah. I was actually trying to contemplate that earlier. Like, you know, who would I have to say is the best team if I had to pick someone? It's hard to not pick Ottawa because anyone would say, oh, you're being biased. You know, especially we're hosting a podcast here and you're asking us that. I want to say Ottawa so badly. Ottawa's up there. Obviously, they're up there with Murray and Dadonov, and then hopefully Stutzla makes the team.
And Murray.
And Murray, because we haven't talked about that in the last week. Dadonov kind of just overshadowed that. But you addressed a top goal scorer and what should be a top 10 goalie, hopefully top maybe 10 to 15 goalie. And is that enough to push Ottawa into the playoffs? I don't know. I mean, if it's an all-Canadian division, which is what we're hearing a lot about right now, that's huge to me, guys, because that means you're not playing the Washingtons, the Pittsburghs, the Bostons, the Tampa Bays, the Carolinas.
No, like, but on the same token as that, I think you're still looking at a lot of trouble if you're looking at Vancouver, if you're looking at Calgary, who looks a lot better with Markstrom and net. Vancouver bringing in Nate Schmidt looks like a very good move for them. They in Vancouver, they still have Besser and Miller and Horvat. And then in Winnipeg, you've got your lethal offensive force. So it's not like this all Canadian division is going to be a walk in the park either. To the point, it does feel like it might be a little bit easier considering the top two teams in the NHL for the past few seasons have been Tampa and Boston, both of which are in the Atlantic. Neither of which we would have to deal with an all Canadian division.
Yeah.
Right.
So
that's what I'm. Is it enough to push us into the playoffs? Still probably not, but I think it gets us closer just to the conversation.
It's funny because even if you look at an all Canadian division, I hate to say this on the New Era Sens podcast and, you know, me being a fan of this, I still think this team is the worst of the Canadian teams.
Yeah,
believe it or not, it pains me to say it. It pains Vancouver. Me to say it to my core, but the Canadian teams have just exploded.
Yeah. Like,
I think before, if you were looking at the Canadian team, I think Montreal and Ottawa were really close, but they've brought in Josh Anderson, Tyler Toffoli, and Jake Allen. Those are three massive additions to that team.
Oh man,
Edmondson.
Cut in there real quick, guys, and Joel Edmondson on defense.
Right, yeah. Joel Edmondson, yeah. Ben Chiarot is another one.
They already had him, right?
Did they?
I thought they had him last year.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm out of it today.
It's all good.
They did have him last year. It's been a long day. It's been a long week.
Yeah,
those four additions. You're right. A backup goalie to spell Price a little bit more now that he's getting up there in age. Obviously a top six forward in Toffoli, another top six forward in Anderson, who's going to play a very rough style. If he could stay healthy though, that's kind of the question with him. And a top four defenseman who just came from two great teams, Carolina and St. Louis. So Montreal is definitely improved. And it pains me to say it just like you did. I don't like the Montreal Canadiens. They are one of our rivals. But I have to give them credit. They've improved. Maple Leafs improved. Like
everyone around us. I think the Canadiens have especially built themselves into a team that could contend for the playoffs because they've got the size. They've got the ability to run teams down. They have speed as well with guys like Drouin and Nick Suzuki. And I think up the middle, they've got Kasperi Kotkaniemi and Nick Suzuki, and both of them are going to be top six centers for that team. I think that Canadian teams are definitely on the rise. There's going to be a Canadian Stanley Cup winner very soon.
Yeah, that's a good bet. I'd say the same thing too, to be honest. But at the same time, I really hope Ottawa's the first one to do it, to be honest with you. Yeah, I just can't see the Leafs do it, obviously. First round exit again. has to be Ottawa, man. Has to be Ottawa.
No cups in 67.
Oh, man, I love how we can all admit and give them some credit that they've improved their team, but not enough to still get past the first round. It just kills me.
Well, they need to do something with that core. As much as you want to look at that core and you say that, you know, it's an absolute powerhouse, they got to do something with it. Because they can't score in the playoffs.
Don't you think that's exactly why they brought in guys like Simmons and now Thornton? I mean, they needed some guys that could kind of right the ship. Obviously, talent, skill level is not in question with any of the Leafs forwards. It's kind of, can you get through the grind of a 7-game series, or I guess in this year's case, a 5-game series? And the answer was no. But I mean, what do you think a guy that like Joe Thornton, who's played, what is it now, like almost 1,100 games in the league, can come in and say, all right, Austin, all right, Mitch, all right, William, this is what it takes to get through a playoff round and play your best hockey at all times. But I think from that sense, Thornton's a fantastic pickup.
I think he's a fantastic pickup for that as well. But then what do you say about Jason Spezza? Because that was the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Arguably, Jason Spezza has done better than Joe Thornton in the playoffs. So, like, I don't even know. If you're trying to give the Leafs credit for signing Joe Thornton to try to bring in a guy that'll teach the young guys, that's what they tried to do with Spezza, and it didn't work. So what makes you think Thornton's going to work?
Yeah, and I don't know. I look at
they even tried it with Marlow.
Yeah, exactly. Their bottom six looks a bit weaker, I'd say, than what it was last year. So I don't know. It's hard to say that they got better. Maybe they did. I like TJ Brody, so we'll see. But I just don't see the big improvement since last year. So for me, it's first round exit. That's how I see the Leafs. And it sucks because I'd like to see Spezza win a cup, but I can't cheer for the Leafs. So it's a no for
me. Absolutely not. And how cool is that, though, guys? I mean, if you would have told me 10 years ago, 2010 now, I guess Thornton and Spezza were still playing very good hockey, that in 10 years they were going to line up with the same team as 37, 38, 40-year-olds, I'd laugh. I'd be like, why? Yeah. Who? What team would they be on? Who's bringing them in at that point?
Man, my favorite is imagine going back to 2007 and telling like a young Sens fan that Jason Spezza and Joe Thornton are going to be on the same team in 2020, and that team is going to be the Toronto Maple Leafs. Like, how disgusted would that 2007 Mike or 2007 Nick be at hearing that?
Yeah, that would be just shocking. I would ask the person if they were playing, you know, general manager mode on EA Sports. I don't know. That's just, I wouldn't believe it. But, I mean, I guess it's 2020, right? So anything could happen.
Honestly, though, it's a testament to the hard work that those guys put in. I mean, Orton's 41 now. Spets is not positive, 37 or 38. And these guys just love the game of hockey, man. Like, Spets used to be my favorite player. He got so much hate, and I always stood by the guy. So it's like you guys said, I'd love to see him win a cup, but I don't see how it's going to happen in Toronto. And they both probably have one year left. Maybe somehow 2 years. I don't know. But I mean, you guys are right. Wayne Simmons is also older, and he's slower now. TJ Brody, you know, how good did he look in a beefed up decor in Calgary for a few years? So how much better are the Leafs? I don't know. That's a really good debate to have with other hockey fans. You can't ask Leaf fans because a lot of them are pretty biased. But
worst fans in the league, man.
they're passionate. They love what they love what they love their craft.
Yeah,
very loyal fan base. I'll give them that
for sure.
All right, guys. So speaking of fan bases, though, like as a Sens fan, I don't know. Like the last maybe 2 years. Like I've seen a lot of new Sens fans on my timeline. Maybe that's just, I guess I have bigger reach, I guess. But recently I've just seen so many fans on Reddit, on Twitter, on Facebook. It's just really nice to see Sens fans, I guess, coming out and supporting the team and seeing the bright future and hopping on board the 116 master plan, page master plan. So I don't know. I'm happy to see that there's a lot of Sens fan nowadays, and I think it's going to be a sellout maybe 5 years' time.
I was talking to one of my coworkers today, and he was quite adamant about still sort of having some hate towards Melnick. And I had to explain to him that Melnick seems different. Like, I don't know what kind of aliens came down and took the old Melnick and, you know, brought in this new guy who actually cares for the hockey team. But wow, it's night and day. This guy, keep in mind, this is the same owner who threatened to move the hockey team just hours before the very first alumni event. And now he's coming out and saying he loves the team. He wants to keep the team here. He's willing to spend the money. Like, it just feels like a complete 180.
I'll just chime in there real quick, Noah. I think a lot of people working under Eugene Melnick have made it very easy for him to take this 180. When you look at a roster that's so stacked with young talent, I mean, Eugene Melnick is not stupid from a hockey fan standpoint. He's been a fan of this team two decades, right? When he first took over the team, I was a teenager, and I remember the guy was stoked. He came from owning an OHL team up to the big leagues, and I remember he put on an Eagles concert for ticket holders. And right from the get-go, and then we made the East Final, I think, the year after. So right from the get-go, it was, let's do this. Let's own an NHL team in the nation's capital, and let's have fun with it. And then, you know, somewhere along the way, things went off the rails, and we had to do a rebuild. But now it's coming on. It's 3 years of that rebuild. Most rebuilds are between 3 and 5 years. So I don't think, Noah, that it's any big mystery of why we're seeing this Eugene Melnick all of a sudden. It's surprising, but it's not a mystery to me. It's okay, I got a team that's turning the corner and is going to be a great hockey team for a long time. Why would I want to get rid of that now?
Yeah, I think it's just shocking for some fans, considering we, you know, a lot of the rebuilds are focused on core players. Like for a lot of teams, like they'll build around their main guys, but over here was completely different scenario where we literally let go of our franchise player, you know, probably the best player we've ever had on the Sens, and Carlson, other guys like Stone. So I think fans were just like, you know, what is happening? Like, this is not really a rebuild we're used to seeing. So, yeah, I think this was the plan all along. I think it's a good plan. Like, there's not that many. I don't think there's been a rebuild like this ever in the NHL where, you know, you just fully take over your bulldoze the whole team and build up new players and prospects. So we'll see if it pays off. But I mean, it's bold, and if it works out, I mean, sky's the limit. And Melnick and Dorion look like geniuses. So I think this is what they were aiming for. And we'll see if it plays out. But I'm really optimistic and hopeful, and I'm excited to see. We got 4 years to win a cup apparently. So let's make it happen.
I'll chime in here and say that we have seen a time where a GM completely ripped the team down to literally bare bones, and it was the Pittsburgh Penguins the year that they drafted Mario Lemieux. So that's the biggest time that pops into my head of just stripping. The other good analogy for that one would be the 2004 Washington Capitals, who stripped their team down, traded everything for Alex Ovechkin. And, you know, you're both of those teams won cups. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, maybe not in 4 years, but they got their cups, yeah.
Ovechkin got his cup eventually. Don't worry about it.
And we'll get a cup before the Leafs, so.
Yeah.
That's it. Doesn't matter the road Ovi took to get the cup. He got it. It's all that matters, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
But you're right. Just touching on that Cavs team for a moment, I remember it vividly because 6 years before that was the team they tore down that beat the Sens, the first time the Sens ever made the second round of the playoffs. You had Peter Bodger, you had Olaf Kolzig, you had Robert Lang, who played out of his mind with Jager for a few years. Of course, you had Jager, two other guys, Steve Konowalczuk. These were all guys that were like the glue of their team. And you're right, they tore it down.
Was Sergei Gonchar on that team?
Sergei Gonchar, too. I think he stuck around for a little bit longer, but...
Was he on that team? He was. Yeah.
98 team?
He was drafted in 94, and he played for the Capitals until 2004. So yeah, he got traded. Oh, he was part of the purge. Yep. Because he traded to Boston. Yep.
Right. And that's when Otto, of course, tried the Peter Bonder experiment. Muckler gave that a shot, and that obviously didn't work out. But I mean, Washington had a hell of a team there. You're right. That probably should have won a cup. Didn't ran into a great Detroit team that year in 98.
And then
Dinah Zubris is another one. Thank you. just a complete teardown. That's an excellent point. 6 years after they made the finals. So it took a while. But then, yeah, of course, when you had a chance to draft Alex Ovechkin, that's gonna force a teardown pretty quick. So
absolutely.
Guys are right. It doesn't happen often. Usually it's a slower rebuild and a slower path.
Well, when we
have been able to, in 3 years.
When we saw the Leafs in 2016 tear their team down, they got rid of their big piece in Phil Kessel, but they kept JVR and they kept Tyler Bozak and they kept Nazem Kadri and they kept a couple of these guys who they probably also could have traded off for a couple more assets, kind of like Ottawa did, in the sense that we traded everything. There wasn't anyone that was really worth anything by the end of it here, besides the guys that were, you know, unmovable.
Exactly. And that's it. There were guys that might have been hard to keep around for contracts in the rest of this rebuild that you don't want to maybe be tied down for 6, 7, 8 years. Carlson. No.
Well, if you
Stone?
Look at the only one that really out of the group of the guys that we kind of got rid of, the only one that really is playing to his value is Mark Stone.
Yeah.
Matt Duchene doesn't look good in Nashville.
And I'd argue we got the least value for Stone out of all those players. So, yeah. I mean, we'll see. But yeah, you're right.
Oh, yeah, guys are right. I mean, we didn't have teams lining up for Stone, which there should have been. And it's Dorian kind of just, you know, took the Vegas offer because it's Eric Brandstrom. He's the best prospect not in the NHL right now. But I don't recall there being teams lining up to pay Stone a 7-8 year contract that Vegas did. Because when he comes out of that toward the end of it, he's 33, 34 years old. So I'm personally not a fan of those huge contracts like that. I thought Taylor Hall was going to get it, you know, this offseason, and then he took the 1 year. I see the NHL moving more towards more show-me deals for guys around 26, 27 years old rather than, all right, I put up 80 points before, you know, pay me $8 million for 7, 8 years. But what do you guys think about that very, very quickly? Because we do have to wrap it soon, but where do you see the NHL heading on those long contracts?
I think they're going to have to crack down on that. There's been too many guys that are getting offered deals that are way too long. And since the NHL is such a physical league and it's so physically demanding to play, you know, even play to that length, to even play 7, 8 years is unbelievable.
Yeah. I think the longer contracts are going to come, you know, right after their entry level contracts. Like, you'll see younger players get those longer deals because I guess they have time to hit their prime and get better. And those are the years that really matter in today's NHL. But older guys, you know, 26, 27, I doubt that they'd be getting long deals. You know, 3, 4 years would be a good bet on those players max. But you're right. I think the longer deals are coming to an end in the NHL for older players, in my opinion.
Do you guys think that we go the NBA route? 5 year? 5 years is the maximum contract length in the NBA. I like that personally. I think that's smart. It keeps these albatross contracts that absolutely handcuff teams for the long-term future. It keeps those down. It lets more player movement happen. Because in the NBA, we see a lot of player movement. A lot more than any other league. And I think it's very healthy for the NBA. And I think it would be very healthy for the NHL.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think the NBA obviously isn't as, you know, demanding of a league, as taxing on players' bodies as the NHL is. So if they're doing it, then the NHL should be doing it too. I mean, no guy, I don't care what your talent level is going to be able to stay at that top level of play and production throughout a 7-8 year contract when you're signing it at 26, 27, sometimes 28 years old.
You only the special players that can really do that. The very, very best of the best.
Exactly. But, I mean, Connor McDavid, Nathan McKinnon, Tubby Panarin, you could maybe put Elias Pettersson in that conversation soon. There's certain guys see that special, those special skills with, and you know they're not going to deteriorate. Their game won't fall off as quickly as other guys. But as a whole, yeah, just cap it. Just put 5 years on it, man. Like,
we really should.
All right, guys. Well, covered a lot here for our first podcast. We'll wrap things up. I want to get one name very quickly that you think is realistic. Either you want to see him at it or you think it'd be a good fit. One name that you want to see as an Ottawa Senator, either through free agency or trade.
Hey, boys. Andreas Athanasiou.
Okay.
Speed and talent that this guy has. If you've watched the Sens versus Red Wings game, you've seen this kid. You know what he's all about. You know that he's had pretty much two or three breakaways a game against us. So just imagine putting that with Alec Formanton. Ooh.
Wow. That would be fun.
For me, what are you, Dick? Yeah, probably Granlund. Dorion was saying he was looking for centers, though. So we'll see. But I like Granlund. I think it would be a good fit. Maybe a 1 or 2 year contract. Just fill in the gaps for a little bit. That'd be pretty cool to see. I'd be pretty happy with that.
Right on, guys. I would say Athanasiou or Eric Halla. I don't think Eric Halla gets enough love, but when you look at the advanced stats and who he's played with and what his ice time has been in Vegas, and then, I'll be okay. Where was he? Where did he go after Minnesota. Vegas?
He was in Minnesota forever.
And then Vegas, and then where was he last season?
Was he not still in Vegas, or did he Florida? That's the one.
Florida, okay, yeah. So he's moved around a little bit the last couple of years, but I've always just liked his game. I think he's also pretty fast, a good penalty killer. So that's my guy. I think he'd be pretty cheap. But other day, I throw in there is Dominic Cahoon. Somebody cheap, somebody that's not going to need a ton of ice time, kind of just throw in there.
I watched a lot of Cahoon in Chicago. He seems like he's got great hands, great vision. Like he seems like just another one of these European forwards that the Hawks are so damn good at signing for whatever reason, as we've seen with Panarin and then Kubalik last year as he put up 30 goals as a 7th round draft pick. So
exactly. Yeah. Take a chance on him.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, we'll have to see by the time we start up our next podcast next week. There could definitely be another signing or trade to talk about with the way Dorian's conducted this offseason. So it's been fun. I'd like to let the listeners know you can find us at New Era Sens on Twitter, Facebook. The Instagram is New Era Sens with the underscores in between the words. And website is www.newerasens.com. And you can find all our Twitter handles on there. We all appreciate the ads and support. We'll talk to you next week, guys. Noah, Dick.
Yes.
Thanks for doing this. yeah, the next one.
Yeah, next week for sure. Really looking forward to that. And it's always a good time to talk to you guys. So,
absolutely, boys.
All right. Cheers, boys. Have a good weekend.
Take care.
You too.
You can find our podcast on Spotify, Google Play, Apple Store, and Anchor. We look forward to having you guys check that out.